TV.
On the radio.
Roll it there, cadet.
Hey, how you doing?
Bazinga.
Well, I didn't expect a kind of Spanish Inquisition.
One for everybody in the audience.
It's going to be legendary.
You just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
It makes you feel strong and connected.
You don't have to worry about anyone judging you.
Let's see, community, for me, is a place where you feel like you belong.
I think for groups, especially larger groups, it creates an us type of thing.
I mean, it's like a walking party when you see a bunch of people dressed like this coming your way. You know you're in for a good time.
It feels like we're all equal and we all play a part. We're all wearing the same jersey.
There's a solid piece that protects your spine. You can get out on the road by yourself and not feel by yourself. It allows you to be brave in your own skin.
There you go. That's Worn Stories. All episodes now are streaming on Netflix. James Dempsey joins us once again. Good afternoon, James.
Good afternoon to you, Sean.
This is like a piece of clothing telling a story. Is that what it is?
Yeah, kind of, basically. I didn't really know an awful lot about it going in, and there's an excellent podcast called Articles of Interest, which is all about the history of clothing, and I thought that this was going to be it as well. But it's actually not so much about the history of clothing in any way, so much as the human interest stories of the various people wearing different items of clothing, if you get me. Mm. And I must say, I think this is an absolute treat. This is like a really cute, lovely little documentary. I picked it out to talk about it and then watched another episode this morning all about uniforms. And it was such a moving, just this unbelievably moving, like 5-minute piece about a traffic guard in the US. And it is well worth seeking out. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. So it's based on a book by a woman named Emily Spivak, who is an American writer based in New York. She actually features in one of the stories that's about kind of, I guess, really maternity wear and clothing for children. And but it's actually adapted by Jenji Cohen, who is the creator of Orange is the New Black. And I think it's actually worth noting that a lot of the very moving stories in this also relate to prisons. It's her stomping ground, so she knows it fairly well. But each episode is only about 30 minutes, and I know my favorite thing is a 30-minute episode. They are just long enough to be really, really interesting and not long enough to overplay their hand, we'll say. And each one primarily focuses on four different people with their stories weaving in and out, with a few other talking heads thrown in. And each one is just slightly different. So the first episode is about community. And maybe not, I will warn viewers before you sit down to watch this that it opens with a nudist community in Florida. So be prepared for some full frontal nudity.
Definitely don't want to watch that.
And it's ironically the one item of clothing that the nudist cannot do without is footwear. And they go on to explain that. But it just weaves together these four different narratives about community. And, you know, I was sitting here watching it. And in this first episode, they have this Korean woman, Mrs. Park is her name. And she's moved to the US after the Asian financial crisis and found a new sense of community in this sort of Buddhist temple somewhere in New York. And it ends with her and a bunch of, I don't know, 60, 70-year-old Korean women dancing to the song Gloria in terrible coordination while wearing like outfits that you would have seen in Mamma Mia outtake moments. And if you are watching this show by the end of the sort of 25-minute episode and you are not enthralled by that, then this is definitely not the show for you. But it was 100% the show for me. I just found each episode to be incredibly warm and sweet without being cloying. I will say it is expertly put together in the sense that they animate various different bits with various different animation styles like cutout or felt animation or claymation or, you know, models or anything. The score is lovely. The whole thing is just a really excellent package and well worth seeking out.
Right. Okay. And so, if you like, is the item of clothing really the jumping off point for telling a particular story?
Exactly. And each episode is then sort of grouped by different themes. So as I said, the first one is community. The one I watched this morning, for example, was about uniforms. So in it, you have this, you have four different stories. You've this American crossing guard. You have a guy who's in prison and who was tailoring his own clothes because of how, you know, in the California penal system, basically all it's one size fits all. And that means extra, extra large. So you walk around in these incredibly baggy clothes. And then you had a museum security guard who talks about how people think the you know, this is a completely dehumanizing thing to do, but actually it has been an incredibly rewarding thing for her to do because it gives her sort of an extra sense of power. And they had this congresswoman who wears these very kind of like Stetsons covered in sequins and feathers and all kinds of things, and how she says it. This gets her to stand out amongst the crowd of suits, but actually that standing out gives her more power when she needs to get the kind of politics done. It's just sort of how an item of clothing might lend itself to a human interest story. And I mean, there are some fairly adult and racy ones. There are some very innocent and family friendly ones. But on the whole, I don't think it's maybe one for the whole family. But it is generally just a really thoroughly enjoyable 25, 30 minutes of TV.
Right, okay. So the Healy Rays will be in series two then.
yeah, exactly.
By the size of that. And right, a few bits of TV news. Jon Stewart, is he basically returning to his old job, though on a different channel, of course?
I mean, with more money.
Yes.
So he's gone from The Daily Show, which I hadn't realized that he was on that show for 16 years. It ran for 16 years with him at the forefront of it. And he has he left it in 2015. It's since been taken over by Trevor Noah. And I think it's doing okay. But he has now signed on to produce a new show with Apple TV. And it's going to be called The Problem with Jon Stewart, which is a pun because each episode will be a specific sort of polemic or current affairs problem that he will look at and deal with across an hour. Now, an hour for any one of these kind of like, you know, Last Week Tonight or The Colbert Report or, you know, The Daily Show. An hour seems a lot to me, right, to dedicate to any one of these kind of shows. But It's already signed on for a multi-year deal, and it's coming later on this year in the autumn. And it says that it's going to focus on the issues of the day, we'll say, as well as his own advocacy. And he is a well-known advocate of the 9/11 first responders and of veteran healthcare. And also, him and his wife have an animal shelter on their multi-acre farm in New Jersey as well. So I think animal rights could be expected to crop up at some time. But it's good news for Apple TV because they launched around the same time as Disney Plus, and they've only got 40% of the subscribers of Disney Plus at this point.
I suppose Apple TV Plus would be more kind of aimed at a more adult audience anyway. Disney obviously has the reservoir of kids' films.
That is 100%. Yeah, in fairness, Disney owns childhood, right? Yeah. So it owns Star Wars and the Marvel Universe and Pixar and obviously its own brand as well. So yes, it has an inbuilt audience. You're dead right to say that. I would say Apple TV, you can get it, you definitely get a year's free if you get a new Apple device. And that is, in my opinion, the only thing that currently makes it worthwhile because there just isn't enough on it yet to really even, it's not an expensive subscription, but there's just not enough on it to merit a year's worth of its subscription yet anyway.
Yeah, but from your description though, it sounds like this new Jon Stewart show isn't really like The Daily Show. It's probably going to be, you know, less tongue-in-cheek.
No, I think my understanding is it is definitely supposed to be that kind of satirical commentary stuff.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That'd be interesting. Second, of course, and probably a lot of people are already aware of this, that the Duke of Hastings has left Bonkerton and thus rendering the entire show pointless.
Well, apparently not. So what I didn't realize is I knew that going forward, the different seasons of the show would be focusing on different Bridgerton children, because that is what the novels that these are based on do as well. But what I didn't realize is that actually in the novels they pretty much end up writing him out as well. So it's not that he might get mentioned here and there, but he's not really a main character or even a supporting character. He is at best a recurring name. But I don't know how they're going to work that into the Netflix show, because the actor who's Reggae, I'm not 100% sure, Reggae Jean Page, is not coming back. And he has made headlines twice actually this week, not only for this, but also it has emerged in the ongoing debate about Joss Whedon actually and Warner Brothers and Ray Fisher, who played Cyborg in the Justice League movie, that one of the producers of the sort of entire universe of DC comic TV and movie shows actually axed him from being Superman's grandfather in Krypton when they announced that TV show that ran for two seasons, because quote unquote they didn't see him, you know, they didn't see Superman, they imagined Superman's granddad looking more like Henry Cavill than like Reg A. John Page,
which is
bad to be honest with you, but he's doing fine. He's got two big feature films in the offing and he's going
to
be fine.
Well, he also looks a bit young to be Superman's granddad.
True, I
would have thought. And also, as well, like this is Shonda Rhimes. I would have thought she'd have no compunction, given that she knew how popular he was, not to rejig the thing and bring him back for a second season.
Well, they offered him, according to the Hollywood Reporter, they offered him $50,000 an episode to do three guest spots, and he just said no.
Right. Okay. Good for him. Crikey. Paddy says, Resident Alien finished on Sky last week and it was a gem too. The story is very good. It's sci-fi and it's great fun. The actors are strong. The young kids especially, worth watching. Says Paddy. You liked it too, didn't you, James?
Yeah, I've been dipping in and out slowly. I haven't finished it, put it that way. But I certainly have liked what I saw, and I thought it had a kind of like... It had the promise of being really kind of mawkish and stupidly sweet, and it had a good darkness to it that kind of made it all a bit more tolerable and likable. But yeah, the performances were the big draw there.
And James is telling us that Jon Stewart is going to be returning to Apple Plus TV with a kind of a Daily Show-ish type show. Kira says, I love Jon Stewart and think he had a really interesting and big impact on American current affairs coverage. But this format is so overdone now. And to be honest, I think it has had quite a destructive impact on news coverage in the US. Maybe John should stay in retirement. Well, I suppose we'll just have to see what the format of what he's doing is. Alan says, did James actually like Bridgerton or did he just have to watch it? I feel like this is one of the less glamorous parts of James's job, that he has to watch that sort of drivel. Not judgy at all there, Alan. How many episodes did you watch?
No, I finished. I definitely finished it. I thought it was grand. Like, I didn't think it was, I didn't hate it, but I also thought it was fine. Like, it was not in any way remarkable to me. I didn't think it was especially racy even. I just thought it was kind of grand. And once you got over the kind of, the bit of spectacle and the bit of news that it was bringing, there was not an awful lot of substance to it. But it really was just the most spoken about thing when it debuted. And I kind of think, how many times have I thought of it since then? About three.
Yes. But is it like Grey's Anatomy in bodices?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Though Anisha says, I like that man on now. That means you, James. But why does he say bunches when referring to groups of people? Bunches are for bananas or grapes. So now you're told.
I'll try to recall that one.
Jim says, Reeling in the Years is back on Sunday. Can't wait. Would James agree it's the best RTE show ever made?
I'm going to hold off all my thoughts on it until next week because I'm probably going to talk about it next week. So tune in then.
Yes. And then you'll find out your definitive answer. Right. We'll move on to our second show of the day. It is Wellington Paranormal. It's streaming now on Sky Comedy. Here's a clip.
We've been called out to a possible B&E.
Break it an entry, not B&B. That's bed and breakfast, which is not technically a crime.
Couple come home from their holiday and believe someone might be inside.
Finally.
Hello, good evening.
Hi, good evening. Hey, I turned the lights out and locked all the doors and windows before we left. Yeah?
Yep.
Our home is being violated.
Okay, have you seen any signs of a break-in?
Someone is in there. We heard them.
Well, just because you hear something doesn't mean it's real. When I heard if you put your phone into a microwave, it recharges it. But look at the state of that.
Is that iPhone 12?
iPhone 4.
Wait, guys, iPhone,
they said. They said.
Look,
I'm
there not. Is something in there.
Something isn't
there. It's quite unusual. Go and check it out.
Right, that's Wellington Paranormal, X-Files, comedy X-Files in New Zealand.
Yeah, basically, yeah. I think that's definitely the short version, but it's pretty accurate. So if anyone has seen What We Do in the Shadows, the 2014 mockumentary, which has itself actually spun off into, I think now, a two-season, very critically lauded sitcom in the US, which I just actually haven't seen any of. But my understanding is it's very, very funny. But there were these two minor characters in the movie, anyway, in 2014, Officers Minogue and O'Leary, who are played by Mike Minogue and Karen O'Leary, who were these, you know, basically two bit players in the New Zealand acting scene. And Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi thought that the two characters kind of really had breakout, you know, moments anyway in What We Do in the Shadows, and put together in 2018 a six-part comedy series for TVNZ. And it has been a huge success in New Zealand, so much so that in addition to running for three seasons, which have just arrived on our shores now, they also did a number of kind of like videos for the police service of New Zealand for recruitment. They did one for kind of summer safety, and they recently did like a 20-parter, which was all about COVID safety, which also included the kind of the police commissioner of New Zealand currently, and Clark Grayson, I think, or Gayford, sorry, Clark Gayford, who is Jacinda Ardern's fiance, who does a cameo as himself along with their baby in it. And it is really funny. Now, it is never unmissable, right? This is like simple, gentle, observational, mockumentary kind of humor, right? And I but what really makes it work is the excellent chemistry of the pair, because they, you know, they're mining, they really do spin out great jokes out of very simple and straightforward kind of situations, but it's their commitment to the roles that really kind of elevates it above and raises it up to often very, very, very funny. But like, I would say this is not the absolute be all and end all. Don't go in expecting it to be an absolute riot, laugh a minute kind of thing, because you're not going to get that. First of all, you need to kind of find your way about it, because I mean, the whole concept is a bit silly, right? It's about these two pair of police officers. They're just rank and file officers, and you know, don't expect any you know, line of duty kind of mega policing here, right? They're just two rank and file officers in Wellington, and in the very first episode they get called out to pick up this teenage girl who's been possessed by a demon. And that's what you're getting in all the kinds of episodes. You get sci-fi and horror tropes mixed with that kind of lo-fi, you know, normcore humor of like The Office or Parks and Rec or something like that. And the two officers, Mike Minogue and Karen O'Leary, they play it absolutely straight. They do not, I mean, none of this is like slapstick silliness. It's just all kind of offbeat, observational jokes. And because of that, it's very funny. Now, what also works is how lo-fi everything about it is. I mean, when they reveal these monsters to you, the special effects are a bit hokum and silly and put together. Everything is sort of pared down to a fairly cheap standard, but that actually works for the whole sort of atmosphere that they're going for. And look, I think it's my understanding is it's going to go on for more seasons in New Zealand. It has just arrived to us 3 years after it debuted there, but I know it's now going to the US as well. So it has real potential to build a brand, as we'll say, as a global cult hit, and it's well worth seeking out.
Right. Okay. But it's kind of a dip in and out kind of thing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. That's not bad. Right. We'll move on to our third show of the day. This is an example of Hollywood A-listers phoning it in. It's called Calls. Here's a clip.
I miss you so much. I can't. I love you.
Yeah.
What?
It's been 6 months. It's been 6 months today or yesterday.
Yeah.
You said you'd be here by New Year's Eve, and tomorrow's New Year's Eve.
I know.
I've just been thinking.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a nurse, and I'm taking care of an elderly woman. And it's all me being at home, you know?
All right. You know what? It doesn't matter. Look, I called you because I want
to... You promised me we'd make this work. You know, you're the one that needed to move to L.A. And
there's something you should know, okay?
There's something I heard. Shit, I just heard...
What?
Yeah, that bad line wasn't us, by the way. That's Calls, all episodes now streaming on Apple TV+. It's literally phone calls. Is that it, James?
Yeah, it's a very strange one. So it's actually based on a French TV show that was made for Canal Plus, but it's adapted for the US by a South American director named Fede Alvarez, who remade the Evil Dead movie a few years ago. And it has a very starry cast. So who we heard there was Karen Gillan, and I think his name is Nicholas Braun, who's in Succession. But also, I mean, the list, and this is an edited list, includes like Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Aubrey Plaza, Judy Greer, Lily Collins, Mark Duplass, Nick Jonas, Pedro Pascal, who's in everything, Rosario Dawson, and more. And basically, across 9 episodes, it tells a sort of strange story. So you're in the very first episode, you hear the conversation that we heard there. That's between this couple who are falling out of love. And at the same time, some sort of apocalyptic event is taking place in the world. And then across the next 8 episodes, the timeline actually shifts back in time, but moving forward in time, and meets various different people who may or may not have some involvement and who are all going through their own kind of weirdness. Now, that's okay, except it's a podcast, right? So I don't know why you need to tune into your TV to watch this. Because while these conversations are playing out, there are these, I mean, interesting graphics, but I would liken them to, you know, like a screensaver in Windows 95, except a bit fancier. So there's lines moving around the screen, and then the entire text is also coming up. So you are, you know, you're reading the dialogue while you're hearing it at the same time. And it is animated, and I mean, effort was put into the visuals here. But I don't know, like, the thing about subtitles is once they're on the screen, you almost can't look at anything else. So especially when they're playing out like exactly as the the character is reading out the lines of dialogue, your eyes just don't really go anywhere else on the screen. Is this all in all, it's a very strange product, because you know, you're looking at kind of 18-minute long episodes of just animated text, and definitely there are starry people involved here. They sent them all computers, they got them to talk into their phones and recorded them, and it was a pandemic project. But I don't see how it's in any way elevated by being on television. If they had just released this as a podcast, it would have been an okay podcast, because the story is not even particularly interesting. But really, the television part of it adds absolutely nothing to the package at all.
Right. Okay, it is a kind of an odd one, but I suppose you could double screen while you were watching this.
Maybe you definitely can.
You were a bit of there. One last question for you, James. Now, I don't know if you can answer it in the way the person wants. Can you please ask James how I can watch Minari in Ireland? I'm not a techie, and my Amazon Prime told me it is not available in my country. What do I do to change this? Please don't let it be complicated.
So I definitely, that's one for Esther rather than me. But I think, and do not quote me on this, at some point recently, it was definitely available to watch at home via the IFI. So perhaps that is still the case. I would say seek that out.
Yeah, but I don't think you can change your Amazon Prime, because
think you can. They're kind of wise to that, and they know when you're doing it.
Yeah, indeed. James, thanks a million as ever. James Dempsey there. Today we were talking about Warn Stories. All episodes of that are now streaming on Netflix. Also, Wellington Paranormal, that's streaming on Sky Comedy. And Calls, all episodes are now streaming on Apple TV Plus.
TV on the radio.
Roll it there, Colette.
Hey, how you doing?
Bazinga.
Well, I didn't expect a kind of Spanish Inquisition.
One for everybody in the audience.
It's going to be legendary.
You just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.